It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man. Good man. Community. Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
Adrian.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, hot.
Tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress.
Hello, Brent. Hey, Fred. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man. Good man. Community.
Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
Adrian.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 10. She's a 10. We're on episode 10. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jay, tell them what's up.
This is a journey.
What's good, man?
Oh, that's good. Chuck D, are you kidding me? Welcome to the Teardown. That's my jam. 10 episodes, man.
Yeah.
It's flown by.
I feel you.
Yeah, and you've been...
I got to tell you, man, I'm playing her today.
It's all right, man.
Went on vacation for a minute.
Yep.
Went down to the Keys with the family. Sure, loving life. Get
lovely,
back.
Man. Yeah.
80 degrees, sunny.
Yep.
Land at the airport.
Yep.
Snow
everywhere
snow.
Down
here.
Snow.
Yep. So I've been fighting the flu for about a week. And instead of taking this off, said, man, the people got to hear from us.
They do.
Got a week of baseball.
That's right.
We got
open,
NCAAs. Yeah. We got all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
And the problem is that when you do 10 podcasts,
yep,
there are bound to be mistakes.
Hey, I don't remember saying that.
Yeah.
So let's make a little trip over to Corrections Corner.
Corrections Corner.
We love Corrections Corner.
We do.
We want to make sure we're right for the people.
Right. Do you have any off the top of your head, man?
The only one I can think of is in our top 10 episode, last episode.
Okay.
We both picked the same album.
Yes, we did.
Right.
Yeah.
And I proceeded to throw out 3 songs. I meant to only do 2. I did not mean to pick the first one. So that was a bad edit on our part. We apologize profusely for that.
Whose part?
My part.
Whose part? Tommy.
Tommy's part. Yeah.
You got to edit that
man. Tommy, come on. At any rate, the songs that are on the playlist are the correct songs. So the 4 that are up there from the Dirty South are the 4 songs that should be up there from the Dirty South. And the last 2 that I said are the 2 that I meant to say. I did not mean to say, never going to change. That was not one of my picks.
You know what? Hey, man.
Right. That was just a bad edit on our part. But anyway.
You know, that's and correct. I'm ignoring all the petitions to get you fired off this podcast.
That's fair.
From that.
I appreciate that.
Just because we live in this PC world where everybody wants everything the way they want it.
And you're my brother. So
right.
It's all good. Yeah.
I got one for you that I didn't spill in the production meeting because I wanted to spring it on you here.
That's fine. Spring away.
All right. Chicago Radio.
Yeah, man.
You deleted the score off your radio.
I did.
They are not there
any
longer.
I have not listened to 1 minute of the score.
I can't do it because of the Cub.
Right.
I still listen to Mully and Hanley or Mully and Haw or whoever they're throwing at me in the morning.
Sure.
Lawrence, when I'm in the car at that time.
Uh-huh.
ESPN went to a commercial the other day,
yep.
One-ish, mm-hmm. which would be your transition time,
yeah.
flipped over to the score.
Ugh. My
right.
apologies.
No, man. And here's the thing. I really still hate Parkins. I want to hate Parkins. I can't stand him.
Yeah.
I can't do Bernstein, so that's burnt. But I will tell you this, man.
Yeah.
The interaction between Connor McKnight and Danny Parkins.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Okay.
It's a thing.
All right.
And the score's missing it. They're trying to do the opposites attract, pair old with young, all that kind of thing, which if they looked at it ratings-wise, the only show that they don't do that on is the one that is pulling a 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Mully and Hanley, pretty much the same guy.
Pretty much, yeah. Except one's Cubs fan, one's Sox fan.
Right. I mean, yeah. Right. Okay. True. Mixed marriage.
Right.
But... These cats together, they were fresh, they were young, they were talking. I was engaged, man.
Okay.
And it was awkward when Bernstein would step in and say something. And it was weird. I mean, it was like, oh, okay, Grandpa.
Yeah.
That might have been funny 15 years ago. I mean,
and the funny thing is, and the odd part is that Dan's about our age.
Yeah.
Right?
He's not.
He's not the old guy. He's not guy the,
yeah, well, right, yeah.
To us, he's sure. just the guy.
Yeah.
But I still have no respect for him.
None.
And I, even though as good as Connor may be.
No.
It's not worth my time.
No.
And on top of that, I'm not in the car as much anymore.
Right. Well, and that's true too.
So.
But I wanted to be fully transparent. Yeah. I mean, as hard as sure. I railed against, I'm never listening, right. whatever, blah, blah, blah. Right. Dude, I listened for like 15, I listened to that whole transition. Mm. And those two cats talking together was good radio.
Yeah.
And if they're smart, that's who they're going to pair together. Because when McNeil flames out,
at some point he will.
As he already is, he's taken a knee after the first week, right?
Yeah, he had laryngitis or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
all I right. agree.
And look, I can't give any input, right. really, because I don't listen to it.
So right.
I can't say if it's good or bad, but I trust your judgment. And if you're telling me that the Connor McKnight.
Come on, Joe, this is where we're supposed to fight. We're supposed right. to go back and forth. This right. is the controversy, that's man.
Right. This is controversy. This is right. I can't have a side to something I'm not a part of.
I got you.
So it's not my fight.
No, I got you.
I have waved the white flag on the score.
Sure.
I have not listened to them. I won't listen to them.
Right. No so shat.
I'd rather sit through David Kaplan, which is not good on any level.
Oh.
To that note, I will say that I still follow Jason Goff on Twitter.
Yeah.
And
amen,
and
brother.
Spiegs. I have not read his article. He posted an opening day article.
It was fantastic. Was it? Yeah, oh,
because I'm not even going to do that.
It made me weep.
I don't even want to give him the justification.
You know what? He did it on his Twitter feed, though. You could read it on that.
He did. He did his goodbye on Twitter.
No. But he did that article on there too. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to check it out.
Basically, what he does is everything he does is on his Twitter and the score.
Okay.
Good. But I'm with you because I won't like it on the score's tweet.
Right.
Like I don't. But I'll like it on his.
I don't even want to give them the hit of visiting their website.
Okay.
Like that's how much I don't.
No, I understand.
To that end, Jason Goff hinted yesterday on Twitter that he may have a gig or some sort of outlet on the, I don't know if it's on the score or elsewhere soon.
Okay.
He kind of hinted at it.
All right.
He wouldn't elaborate. Now he's still under contract to the score, so I don't think he can go to a different station.
Right.
But maybe it's a podcast. Maybe it's.
You heard Spiegel's doing one, right?
No.
Yeah.
I did not hear that.
Yeah.
Well, then.
And he's going to marry everything that he loves together. It's going to be music and sports.
Then,
it's going to be
like
this, but better.
But this, but more professional.
Correct.
Right. And how awesome would it be if it was Goff? If it was him and Goff.
You know what? And this is something that Tommy has always yelled at us about.
Yeah.
He felt that chemistry was forced. He thought that they had a lot of fake, uncomfortable laughter about things that they really weren't laughing about.
Maybe.
I didn't ever get that.
Yeah, Tommy's nodding.
I typically have a good litmus for things that don't work like that, which...
Parkins and Spiegel. It stuck out like a...
Absolutely, it did. Yeah. And it was everybody against Parkins.
Right.
And the score is like, hey, wait a minute. We brought this guy in to be the new guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be the new face. Yeah. We can't have everybody hate on him.
No.
So what do we do? We get rid of everybody that is hating on him, correct. Essentially.
Right. And again, I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised last night on the way home from the train station.
Yeah.
I was driving a car right at the end of the Sox game, which thank God for rumble strips because, you know, Ed Farmer put you right out. But they, because, yeah, God, amen to that. They put, the game was on ESPN 1000 because... The GN had the Hawks.
Wow.
Yeah. And I want to talk about them today.
We will.
On this episode. I want to talk
we absolutely
about them
will.
They might have had the greatest win of the season last night. But we'll get back to that in a minute.
Other than the 36-year-old accountant that came out of the box.
Yeah. Right. But
we digress.
I digress. That's not what he called. Yeah, it was. So I had ESPN 1000 on. And I heard Mark Carmen doing the post game. By the way, it's Mazur pre and Carmen post.
Oh.
I found that out.
Okay.
So you get an Andy Mazur, boop, and then game, and then some Mark Carmen.
Okay.
But then after the radio network, the White Sox radio network, had gone off the air, Jay Hood breaking down some Sox for me.
And see, and this is where we disagree too, man.
I was ecstatic.
I used to be a Jay Hood guy on the score, but once he moved up the dial,
yeah.
I felt like he wasn't himself anymore. He basically
sold out.
I don't want to say sold out, but he just seemed to be a guy that didn't want to get in trouble and lose a gig. And that's not the radio I want to listen to.
While I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And it is, there's only two stations in town.
If you're right.
Chicago radio.
No, I understand. And one of them's deleted from your station. I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, no, not so much deleted from mine, but if you've already left that as a on-air talent.
Sure.
If you've left that station.
Where are you going?
To go to ESPN 1000, that's kind of it.
Right. I mean,
that's why they still have Fred Huebner.
I was just going to say.
That's why on the weekends, hey, Fred.
I was just going to say. But what does that say about your station?
And touching back to the Chicago radio, my utter disdain for Murph.
Oh, my God.
On that episode. And it's true.
Oh, my God.
You know, when I sat there and listened to Murph.
Hey.
I sat there. You know.
When I touch my nose, that means you talk, God. Fred.
And again, to wrap this up, I hope it works out for him in a way. There's a part of me that wants it to flame out horribly awful. And if it ends up that McKnight and Parkins are together, maybe, I don't know. But I just don't like Danny Parkins.
No, my God, I'm with you. Yeah. As I have preached several times from the mountaintop, that cat is a John Hughes villain.
Oh.
He is nutrier. He is the pop collar.
Absolutely.
He's everything from high school that I hated.
Yeah.
He's everything that my friends and I looked at and went, oh my, really? That guy?
That's you.
I want you to get a DUI. And I don't want anybody ever to get a DUI.
Right. I want something bad to happen.
Yes.
Yes.
That.
All the bad. I want that to happen.
All of the bad for you.
Correct.
But that being said, them together, I can't deny.
Okay.
I mean, they played off each other. Yeah. They made each other laugh. That felt genuine, and that was the first time anything ever felt fucking genuine from Danny Parkins.
Amen to that.
So, I don't know. All right, brother.
All right, let's get to the meat. Oh, is there more Corrections Corner?
No, I think that's probably it.
Delved all we can into Corrections
Corner? Yeah, but let's just do some quick hits before we get to baseball on things that have happened since we've been gone.
Yes.
The NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Basically... And you said this earlier in the production meeting.
Yeah.
That Saturday night Villanova win, you're like, well, that's it. That's a championship. That's
the national championship
game. Nobody needs to watch on Monday because that's done.
And ratings were down a lot.
They had to have been. Right. You know, and if Loyola would have won, they would have drawn a lot more ratings, but they would have been beaten by 50.
They would have lost by a lot.
At least, yeah. I mean,
as nice as the story is.
Oh.
And everything else,
hey,
the two elite programs played in that second game Saturday night.
They did.
And that was the national championship game.
It really was.
And it didn't matter if Michigan or Loyola won that game.
No.
It did not
matter. No.
Whoever was going to win that Saturday night game was going to win the national title.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And as much as I love the Sister Jean story when it first came out, I kind of got over it real quick.
It's a good story.
It's
a good story in the round of 32.
Yeah.
In the Final Four, it's over. And there was a picture
I don't need to see her being wheeled out.
Well, there's a picture on Twitter of, like, Sister Jean in one room and at the exact same time, Loyola's best player in another room.
Oh, no.
The Sister Jean room packed.
Oh, with the media.
Other room, there was, like, four people in it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
So, I mean, that's...
A story goes too far.
Yes.
Right?
And it was fine. And in no way, shape, or form, am I insinuating that the Sister Jean thing had anything to do with them losing. But they're a good team. They're not a great team.
No.
And not that Michigan's any great shakes.
But. No, but Joe, I'll tell you what happened. And I was lucky enough to watch the majority of their games in the tournament.
Yeah.
And the difference that I saw in that Michigan game was mistakes.
Yeah.
They didn't make any mistakes in those other games. Take that back. Very few.
Very few.
But, I mean, there's traveling. There's stepping on the line. There's, you know, throwing the ball off somebody else. I mean, they looked – it was the first time they looked rattled in the entire tournament.
Yeah, and it goes to show the level of competition, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Valley's – it's very competitive. All those schools are
– they made the Valley look good.
They did. Absolutely. But when it comes to nut crunching time
– no.
You know,
right.
It's going to be one of the Power Five. It's going to be Big Ten or Power Six in college basketball.
Right.
It's going to be a Big Ten team. It's going to be a Big East team.
Well,
it's going to be.
And that's what's happened with the Valley.
ACC or whatever.
I mean, the consistent winners move on.
Yeah.
I mean, what we say, Big East and.
Yeah. I mean, Villanova's in the Big East.
No, Kansas, but I'm saying that Creighton and Wichita State.
Yeah. Yeah.
One's, what, American and one's Big East. Sure. So,
yeah. I mean, it at the end, talent's going to, the best team's going to win the further along you get. And Loyola was maybe playing a little above their head. Weight class.
Sure.
Right.
Punching above their class.
Right. I mean, they were lightweights when they should have been fighting at a lower weight, maybe. But I don't know. It was a good story. The Sister Jean thing was okay. Great. Whatever. Bear. Whatever. Like I said, it was
bless
good,
her heart.
It was a good round of 32 story. It wasn't a good Final Four.
Tommy just crossed himself.
He did. Totally did. And as well he should.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, before we leave the NCAA, with all the allegations that we had, we laughed about this a couple podcasts ago, where, you know, all of these horrible things are coming out. It's a complete cesspool. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're finally going to crack down. But we're not going to crack down before the tournament starts.
No.
So, yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
How does that affect anyone?
I don't know if it affects anybody recruiting-wise. Look, here's the problem. All this crap that came out about Michigan State and Arizona and the head coach of Arizona calling a kid with another agency on the phone to try to get this guy more money.
Right. The Michigan State thing's different, though.
It's the
that's touchy-touchy.
That was, yeah. Right, it was diddling. But,
yeah, that's
but I
Penn
say,
State style.
But let's get this abundantly clear.
Mm-hmm.
This was one agency.
Mm-hmm.
One. This wasn't like 50 agencies, you know, that represent kids. This was one. And all this shit came out with one agency.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
College basketball and to an extent college football are dirty as fuck. And nobody and everybody just kind of tunes it out, I guess is the best way to put it. Like they accept it.
Oh, no.
As a collateral damage to
right.
rooting for their team.
Well, think about it.
But nobody wants to say anything about their grades, how they got there, the money they spent to get there, any money that the kids got, any money the parents got, the house got, the agents that come running through their program left and right to pick up kids, which I'm sure happens all the time at big schools like Alabama for football,
right.
or Kansas for basketball,
right.
or Villanova, or whatever.
Well, parental tampering Cam Newton style.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. we all just kind of go, okay, that
right.
happened.
Right, you know, or like it happened in Illinois where...
No.
The kid comes to the school and they hire his dad as that assistant coach.
Right.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
Right? That happens every day.
Right.
It's an and people either are outraged by it or they just accept it as a cost of doing business, which blows because it should be outraged by it.
Right.
But as long as your team wins and you're competing for championships, they're willing to sweep it under the rug.
And I don't want to get too meta on you, Joe, but sure. if you pulled it back even farther than that, mm-hmm. I enjoy watching sports. I enjoy watching college football. I enjoy watching the NFL.
Yeah.
I know those cats are doing irreparable damage to their bodies by yes. playing this game.
Of course.
I know that they'll never be the same. I know that down the road they are more than likely to have health problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for my enjoyment. It's for my entertainment.
Yep.
And I watch it and I try to pretend that maybe that's not so bad. And maybe, oh, well,
yeah.
you know, there's new medical advances all the time.
To an extent.
So there's that on one hand. And mm-hmm. then on the other hand, you have what you were saying about the cesspool of money.
Yeah.
And college taking in all of this money.
Right. And the players getting nothing.
Nothing.
They get no benefit. Oh, they get an education, Jay.
Right. I know. We fight about this all the time, too. Oh, 40 grand, that's nothing, whatever. I got to, you know, work five jobs to send my kid to college. This guy gets it for free, and yeah, there's all that.
Okay.
Now, Andrew Luck's dad is the head of that committee now, right? That is...
I think so.
For the NCAA that's doing the crackdown.
Yep.
I know, well, I heard reported mm-hmm. that he is a proponent for kids getting to own their likenesses and names.
Good.
For things. Right.
Good.
That's progressive.
So when they sell a jersey with that kid's name on it, that kid
should get that money.
100%.
Now, and even if the school doesn't have to pay them,
right.
that makes sense to me. The other thing, and this goes back to Ed O'Bannon, but did they pretty much shut down college sports video games
yes.
after that happened?
Yep.
I don't remember
yeah.
an EA game
yeah,
after
that.
That.
It was that. Court case that shut that
okay open. But see if they hadn't done that
right.
if EA would cut money to these kids mm-hmm. because of likeness and name
yeah.
or whatnot
right.
that's a way for them to get paid and the school still isn't
right.
a dollar
well the game company's licensed from the NCAA
right
so
the NCAA would be paying the kid
so anything right
technically.
So that money should come from the NCAA which
yeah,
it doesn't
keep
it from themselves
that's correct so I and guess again, it's okay for Luck's dad to say that
yeah.
But what's it really going to do?
Nothing.
The one thing that he did say that I loved a lot was, All we can do is sideline it, Coach. The FBI is in on this now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They can put him in jail.
They absolutely can.
Which is outstanding.
Yeah, and
look, I mean,
like I said, it comes down to this, right?
Right.
These schools, not so much in the MAC or the Valley or, you know, Mountain West or Sun Belt, or as we like to call it, Fun Belt.
Hey now.
It's the Fun Belt. Because they don't make a lot of money. Those schools make enough money probably to break even, is my guess. Maybe make a little profit, but not really. Not really.
Right.
They're making more money now because ESPN's telling them when to play.
Oh.
Right. So ESPN tells them, hey, Akron at Ball State, we know you want to probably play Saturday, but we'll give you an extra $20,000 to play on Tuesday.
And we'll put you on TV.
And we'll put you on TV. And everybody, like whores. Right, exactly. So they just jump at it.
Right.
And, you know, are the TV networks to blame for this? Right? Because they got to put up large sums of money to show these products, to pay to the NCAA or the conferences. They never pay the teams.
Right.
It's always through a middleman, right? Because they have to get their cut, just like any good middleman, right?
Right.
So when Loyola gets to the Final Four, does Loyola get all that money that they made up to that tournament point? No. The Valley gets the money.
Yes.
And then the Valley splits it between all the other teams, right?
Right. So Bradley is
to me
saying,
that's horseshit.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, right. Bradley, who was shit, or
they're always shit, Joe.
Well, I'm just saying. Tommy's nodding his head. I'm not saying they're shit university. I'm just saying that their staff is shit, right? Or their team is shit, I should say. So when bad teams benefit from good teams making all the money, that's not, in my opinion, real fair.
Dude, right? You know what? I'm calling you out now. I am calling shenanigans.
Do it.
You are the cat that always says, hey, man, rising tide raises all ships.
It does.
And that's what it's about.
Right, it does. But
so the
same
good
point,
teams are supposed to bring the bad teams up.
Well, I agree with you to that point. Is Bradley ever going to be in the Final Four?
No, but they were in the Sweet 16 within the last 10 years.
Yeah. But are they going to win the Valley?
They did that year.
But since then?
Well, I don't know, man.
Like, since all this big money has come in?
Are they going to be a perennial powerhouse? Probably not.
Here's the way I'll put it. Does it help their program currently? Of course it does, right?
Right.
Will it help them enough to put them in Loyola's spot?
Well, I don't know how long Loyola's going to be good. Right. And I'll tell you this for free.
Right.
That a coach in the Valley means a hell of a lot more than a coach in the Big Ten or the Big East or the ACC.
I will agree to you to a certain extent. Yes. In that you can overcome mediocre recruiting with good coaching.
Yes.
Right?
That's
the point.
Well,
we're coming to.
That's where I was coming from. Right. I mean, look at Bruce Weber and at Southern.
Right. Yes.
That kid never had blue chip players. No. He couldn't recruit to save his fucking life.
No.
However, he could X and O it up.
Yeah.
So he knew the kind of kids that would play for him. He would get those kids and then he would coach them up.
To a certain extent, that's
what. And look at Kansas State. Same thing.
Yeah. And to a certain extent, to talk Chicago terms, that's the way DePaul is right now.
Okay.
They have a good X and O's. Coach Dave, they brought Dave Leto back for some
fucking reason. Oh, come on, man. The Dave Leto show.
Of course, that's the reason. And their own athletic director came out and said, oh, we don't want to be the mini NBA. We want to be a school of upstanding, right as rain kids, and we don't want to have this end up being NBA light or whatever the hell.
Thug Central or blah, blah, blah.
No, just one and duns.
Well, then you don't want to win.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what her point was. Here at DePaul, we don't want one and duns. Then good luck.
Why have a program?
You're Northwestern.
Right.
Right?
Well.
Northwestern finally made it to the tournament. But before then, they never made the tournament. Literally never made the tournament.
No, you're right.
Because they didn't recruit one and duns because their athletic standards are so high.
Well, yeah, and they're racist. But go ahead.
And that too. And Duke somehow got these kids, right?
Lucky.
Right. Oh, man, Coach K is so lucky, right? Mm-hmm. Just stumbled on all these all these kids that were super smart and super good at basketball. Huh? How did that happen? Come on. Like, there had to have been money involved.
Agreed. But winning also recruits itself.
True that. It does. And Loyola's going to get an increase in recruiting. They're going to get an increase because there was something on ESPN 1000 about... Jeff Dickerson, because he went to Loyola or follows...
JD.
Yeah, JD. He was talking about how the year after these little schools, like Wichita State when they were in the Valley or Illinois State maybe or whenever they made the tournament,
mm-hmm.
there's an increase of up to 10% in enrollment.
Sure.
At the school because they made the tournament. So that's kind of weird in a way.
No.
You don't think that's weird?
I think it legitimizes your school. As dumb as that is,
yeah, maybe
even academically, yeah. They're like, "Oh, hey, look at them! They're on TV."
Right? Yeah, maybe so. It could be too, and that's a recruiting point of football coaches. I know.
Yeah,
is hey, you know, if it wasn't for those Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday night ESPN games,
right?
Nobody would go to these MAC schools.
No,
maybe they'd go to Northern because Northern rules, but it's near here.
Husky Humas.
Husky Humas. But like nobody would go to Akron's a bad call too because they got a Bowden coaching for them, but. Like Miami of Ohio Zip. Or...
Oh, don't hate on Oxford, you know, Ohio, my man.
The cradle of quarterbacks and coaching.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. I made a bad example. Eastern Michigan. There you go.
Well played.
How's Eastern Michigan looking for you?
Not real good.
No. And I don't know, whatever. A rising tide does raise all ships to a point. I agree with you 100%.
Thanks for bringing that back.
I will
specifically loop back because to, it was your point.
And you called me out on it, so I'm just going to emphasize it. Yes, a rising tide does raise all ships. However, there are tall ships and there are small ships. And just because you're a ship and get raised doesn't mean you're still the tallest ship.
No, I got you. But I mean, this goes back to, you know, profit sharing in any league. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you get mad at the A? Do you get mad at the Royal?
No.
In smaller markets that get all
Florida, the Marlins?
Yeah, I mean, these cats are basically right. 4A.
Yeah, and I said this on an earlier podcast, but I don't remember. But anyway, anybody that rips on like the Marlins ownership for selling off their team, to an extent, they bought the team, they paid their own money for it, they run it any way they want. Now, right. To that extent, they should have gotten more for who they traded for, clearly. Right?
No, it was fire sale.
I think they got one top 100 prospect.
It was a fire sale.
In all those trades they made, they traded Ozuna, and Stanton, and Yelich. They traded all of them and got one top 100 prospect back.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That's a fire sale for the sake of a fire sale.
Sure.
That's literally just going fuck it and just selling all you want. Now, the White Sox, completely different. The Marlins sold 10 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
The White Sox sold 95 cents on the dollar.
Correct.
They got top prospect after top prospect.
Maybe
top prospect for the guys that they traded.
Maybe a buck five.
Maybe even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the Eaton deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Left the field today. What a shocker there. Tried to warn you people. I tried to tell you. Adam Eaton.
He's a today, dope. He's a dope.
Apparently face planted on home plate today. That happened. That was a thing.
That's like, that's his hustle.
Yeah, there's your hustle.
Your grinder.
A DL stint and probably a concussion. Come on. Yeah.
All right, man. Speaking of baseball.
Yeah, let's do this.
Let's get to it.
Yes.
All right. First week. Couple surprise. Well, first of all, before we get too far into this, we haven't even played 10 games yet.
Nope.
Relax.
Panic.
Calm
Panic.
Down.
Panic. Panic.
It's a marathon, Joe. Not a sprint.
It's what I've heard, my friend.
You know, you can't win a pennant in the first month.
But sure can.
But you sure can lose one.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So this
Cub.
Before we get to the Cub, they are part of my surprise, believe it or not. Okay. But
that's understandable.
Atlanta at 4-2. Pretty surprised.
Yeah.
I expected them to maybe be a 100 loss team, if not a 90 loss team this year.
I expect them to be around the White Sox level.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. You think they improved that much in the offseason?
I don't know if they've necessarily improved that much, but I think that I think last year was kind of rock bottom for them.
Okay.
In a way.
Well, Dansby Swanson was supposed to be the answer.
Right, and he's not
You're
the
not the answer.
Neither is Gordon Beckham.
No.
No. T-Flow, not the answer either.
No.
Hurt already.
Oh.
Hurt himself, too. That's the bitch of it. It's like the injury, somebody hurt themselves carrying groceries in.
Oh, it was does Perez. Internet porn know you're cheating on it?
Sorry, I think it was Salvador Perez. Heard his knee taking groceries in his house.
Oh, well.
Like shit like that.
That's Brian Greasy territory there.
Right, right. I tripped over a bag. Brian Robinson. I tripped over my dog and broke both my wrists. Yeah. Bullshit.
Yeah, you did.
Bullshit. And the Cubs are, or the Braves are, they can be good. They're going to be one of those teams, like just like the Sox, where it's just going to depend on your young guys stepping up, right? If your young guys step up, you're going to win games. If they are just going to flatline for a year until they improve later,
right?
Then you're going to lose games. It's just the way it's going
to
be.
Well, and because you mentioned the Sox, I'm going to tie that to the Cubs. And when their young cats came up and played like veterans,
yeah,
things looked amazing. When they came up and played like kids that are just coming up, not so great.
Right.
And Ian Happ, I will use as my example. First pitch of the season.
Long gone. Yeah.
That was his only hit.
That's right. And
all right.
And not only that, but your young guys playing that well for the Cubs kind of pressed the issue with the management, right?
Yeah, it did.
Kind of made them go, oh, shit, we got to step it up.
Well, and that's – and this is going to go back to Arrieta, but the Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, that – the Phillies picking up Arrieta was a big sign that they believe
– yeah.
I mean, Arrieta's
– close.
He's not going to put butts in seats.
Eh. Well, here's the thing. The Phillies drew well, and even they were bad.
They typically do.
Yeah. So they're a pretty loyal fan base, and they go to games. So, I mean, it's not – you're right. I agree with you. Is Arrieta going to raise your attendance 10%? No. But he's going to win you games. And if you think you're close, if you think you're... Well,
that's ownership telling you that they believe you're close.
Yeah, and if you think you're 9 or 10 games away from winning, and Arrieta ends up doing that, then it was well invested, right?
Right.
And you're paying him a shit ton up front. Like his
it's front-loaded.
It's for sure front-loaded.
Yeah, and it's only 3 years.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, for sure.
I think both sides, a good deal.
Yeah, I think I agree. And to go back to, I think one of our original podcasts was, we were talking about these free agents late in the spring training window that were going to sign deals like this.
Yeah.
That they weren't going to get 6-7 year deals.
No, because next year.
Right. We'll give you three,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we'll pay a shit front up front so that way we have that money freed up for next year.
And the deal was attractive enough that Jake really didn't have to gamble on himself. He didn't have to say, hey, I have to have another killer year to be able to sign a big deal down the road.
Yeah.
This kind of sets him up.
Yeah. This is your 3-year window to make a shit ton of money. And then if you're still good at the end of three, then you're going to make another shit ton of money.
All right. So we talked Atlanta for surprise. Another good surprise. Yeah. The Buck. Craziness.
One loss.
Raise the flag.
One loss.
My buddy Gary doing dances, talking smack to people about the Pirates.
And he should. They're playing well. They had a good first week. Gregory Polanco lights out. I mean, that's another. They're gonna be. There's so many teams that way, right? Like there's so many. There's teams that are just bad.
Right.
They're good. Like the Marlins. They're just gonna be bad.
Well, unless they're playing the Cubs.
Oh boy.
Hello. Anyway.
Heyo.
Hey now.
Is this thing on? Hello. yeah. I mean, teams like the Marlins. Teams like. I hate to bring this team up. The Reds. They're just gonna be bad.
Right.
And there's going to be teams that are going to be scrapping and fighting because they have young guys like the Sox, Atlanta. Pittsburgh's another one. Like, they sold off Cole. They sold off McCutcheon.
It looked like another fire sale.
And they still have Marte.
Right? Yeah.
And they still have Polanco appearing to be back-ish.
Right.
Right?
I mean, and Harrison's a solid veteran. I mean, they have a squad. It's just...
Yeah.
They really felt like a 500 team.
Yeah, and they...
And they may be.
And the pitching is what's going to be the problem.
Right.
It's with a lot of teams. It's I think they probably have enough offense because they got Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
They have Marte. They have Polanco. Josh Bell is an up-and-comer.
Yeah.
They have at least the offense to be contenders, or not contenders necessarily, but certainly not a shitty team.
Right.
On any stretch of the imagination. Their offense is enough to carry them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's, are they going to get the pitching from the kids? Italian's got to step up. It's kind of his time to shine. Either shit out or get off
the pot. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Now, so we looked at the bright spots and surprises. Cleveland at 2-4. Yeah, a little surprised by that.
I don't get that at all.
The Dodger at 2-5.
Don't get that at all.
Texas at 2-5.
Kind of get that in a way.
Really?
Yeah.
I expected them to.
Their pitching still isn't great.
Okay.
They have Hamels. But yeah, I mean, their pitching's not. I mean, they're not 2-5 bad.
Right. Clearly. I mean, that's kind of where I was at with that.
Yeah.
And the beloved Cub at 2-3. And again, every time I even hesitate talking about first week baseball just because my friend Bill is in the back of my ear going, relax, calm down,
relax.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah. There's no need to panic.
Right.
But to say you shouldn't be concerned is incorrect as well.
About the power surge. I mean, the lack of a power surge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, this looks like a team that should, I don't know, put up maybe 5 runs a game.
Especially against inferior opponents.
You got to beat the bums.
You got to.
As Jason Goff says.
That's right, man.
Dispatch with the bums.
You got to treat bums like they are.
Yes.
And treat them like bums because, well, that's what they are.
Yeah. You can't play up to your competition.
No.
Or down to
down
it.
Down to them. Right. You can't be Jack McDowell. What his entire career was like that.
Stick figure, baby.
Yeah, man.
I have that disc.
Oh, awesome.
It's outstanding.
Yeah, I met Jack McDowell.
Did you?
Oh, he's huge.
I met him too.
He's a big guy.
I met him at
Lollapalooza, the first one.
I met him.
Or second one, excuse me.
I met him in a bathroom at the. Hey now.
Hey now.
I met him in the bathroom at the Metro during a Toad the Wet Sprocket show.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's totally weird.
Yeah.
I met him on the way back from the bathroom. He was in the.
McDowell in the bathroom. I'm not saying a word.
He wasn't in the bathroom. Mm. I was coming out of the bathroom, walking back towards my seat. And there was this crowd of people walking, and we didn't know who they were. And one of them was Blackjack, and one of them was Eddie Vedder.
Oh, well, then there's that.
Eddie Vedder, little guy.
Yeah, well, Jack McDowell, big guy.
He's going to make everybody look like a little guy.
Pretty much. And, of course, but you know, I couldn't have been cool. I couldn't have done I couldn't have done the Buzz Killman and done the...
Acknowledge your existence and then be done with it.
Big fan. And just kept moving. Couldn't have done that. I went... Hey, you think you'll ever play for the North Side?
Think you'll ever play for the Cubs?
I hate myself for saying that.
As well you should.
And I did. That's I said fair. It out loud.
And then you realize as soon as it came out, you're like, God,
I no, I was pretty stupid and drunk at the point, I think. So, yeah, I didn't hate myself till later. But you know what? And to his credit,
right,
he didn't shit on me. He was like, hey, who knows? Right. You never know in this game.
Whoever pays me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And moved on. Yeah. So, kudos to him for that. And kudos to him for flipping off. People.
Yeah.
Big fan for that.
Fuck off. As well you should, quite frankly.
All right. So those were our surprises, Joe. Do you want to talk home?
I think you might have forgot one surprise.
I'm not calling the Sox a surprise. Okay. Look at that.
Your funeral.
Look at that.
That's right, my friend. They're just hitting the ball left and effing right, man.
You know, I heard Rick Hahn on the radio a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the power surge. And again, to his credit, I'm not really sure where this is coming from. Because we were hitting the ball real well out in Arizona, and I guess it just carried over.
That's it, man.
And nobody could predict it.
Right.
Unfortunately, like you told me in the production meeting, that's something that can dry up pretty quick. And if you don't have defense and pitching behind it, then
it's great. I mean,
sorry, pal.
There was a tweet earlier today about the Sox are have the fourth most home runs through the first week of the season. They have like 14 home runs, if memory serves me right.
You're not talking in baseball history, are you?
I'm talking in baseball history.
The greatest team in history.
The greatest team in history.
Thank you, Bill Walton.
You're welcome. Yeah, they're killing it, man. That's the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Teams that hit that many home runs, as a rule, it's tough to sustain wins. You have to have superior pitching to do that kind of thing, right?
Right.
To win at Home Run Derby, 462 games is not feasible. Now, the team that hit the most were the 2006 Tigers, excuse me. They went to the World Series.
And lost to the hated Cardinals.
They did. But they had the pitching, though. And they had Verlander and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Kenny Rogers. There it is. Hey, look, I have something in my hand. Oh, wait. No, I don't. I was at that game two. This is how the White Sox season is going to go, probably, right? They're going to mash in terms of hitting home runs. They're going to do that. They're going to score runs. I don't know if they're going to produce a whole lot of runs. Tim Anderson's been just hitting out of his mind. A lot of that's not just clearly not sustainable, right? The highlights from to me about the White Sox season, Fulmer pitched well in his start. That's a good sign. James Shields was awful. No surprise there. Abreu's been good.
He's awfully expensive,
He is, but you know what? The Padres paid most of it, so I'm not.
You know what? You're right.
I'm not that concerned. Their payroll, look, like I said this in an earlier podcast, is that everybody complains about the Marlins' payroll being too low, and it's they're selling off, and their payroll's too low. Yeah, the White Sox payroll is $19 million less than the Marlins. $19 million less. So you can complain about the Marlins and their highest paid player is Martin Prado and all this other shit, but or Starlin Castro. But the bottom line is White Sox are on the cheap right now, right? So any tickets they sell is basically profit, right? Because they're going to sell. There's going to be the same 12,000 people there every year. But if you can get people, if you can get an extra 2,000 a game in or 3,000 a game in, that's profit because you're certainly not spending it on payroll.
I'm going to be honest with you, Joe. As a Cub fan, if I go to a live action baseball contest this year,
uh-huh.
It will be at the G.
Yeah. Yes.
Tickets reasonable.
Yep.
Easy to get in and out.
Yeah, extremely easy.
And I just can't. I mean,
and there's
going to Wrigley requires, and this is because of my lifestyle, requires me to go down there, get a hotel room. Cab to the park, game of the day of the game, cab back to the hotel room, and then drive home the next day.
Yep.
That's the only way I can handle it. I can't, you can't park around the park.
Nope.
You can't, I mean, and in Ricketsville,
yeah.
They're building a hotel right there.
Yeah.
And those rooms are probably going to go for $300 a night.
During the season, I've heard 400
a night. 400 a night.
Yeah.
And you know what? To take the kid to her first game, It may be worth it to do that.
Sure.
When she's 16,
right,
and can enjoy it,
right,
and isn't looking at her watch or phone, wondering when we can go home,
right. By the way, all that gets worse, the phone and the
oh Jesus!
But
I don't need to hear that, man.
Sorry.
Remember, I got a cold.
I know.
I'm sorry. Playing hurt.
I didn't mean to treat
champions
the that
play
way.
Hurt.
That's
Joe.
Right. You're right. But I will say this: that the Cubs thing is this. The Cubs wouldn't do any of that if somebody didn't pay it.
No, I know. I know.
They're just maximizing their investment.
Oh, and I'm not blaming anybody. And for the team that I get to watch,
yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
As long as they keep sustaining being this good. Don't cheap out when the contracts start coming up in a couple of years.
I don't feel that. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going
to
happen either.
I think that there's going to be some hard decisions that need to be made.
Correct.
And it's all going to come down to output.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. But for the White Sox, to go back to your point about going to a game, you're going to go.
Sure.
So you're going to go to the G-spot.
Yeah.
All of that is all true. It is easy to get to.
Yeah.
Be it by car, be it by Red Line. Even the Metro goes there. The Metro line I ride on every day to go to work goes right. There's a stop at 35th Street.
Right.
So in theory, I could take the train from there to 35th Street.
That's outstanding.
Right. And parking is, it's right. I mean, it's right off of 57. It's right off of I-55. It's literally one exit. It's the first exit. When you get off 55 to go south on the Dan Ryan, the first exit's 31st Street. You just get off there. It's literally the first. You don't even have to change a lane. You have to not do anything. You just merge with the Dan Ryan, and then you merge off the Dan Ryan. It's literally that easy to get to a game off of I-55, which is what you would take from here.
This segment brought to you by the Chicago White Sox.
That's right. Brought to you by the CTA. Ride smart. The White Sox, and they're going to be fun to watch. That's the big thing, too, right?
Right.
Are they going to win every game? No.
No.
No, 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 no. Let's not get carried away.
Right.
But they're going to compete every game, and they're going to hustle every game, and they're not going to fucking bag it in like so many Sox teams in the past have bagged it in.
Sure.
This team's going to hustle and play hard. The kids can play. Hey, Fred.
Hey.
Maybe you heard. This team's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
And I hope more people go. You know, I'm going to go to a lot because I'm going to be working a lot of games.
Right.
But at the same point, if it ever comes up where I can go as a fan, yeah, I'm going.
No, my cousin and his wife are huge fans.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be going to a game with them for sure.
For sure. And it's a great place to go to a game. The food's way better than Wrigley. It's more wide open. There's more things for kids to do there. They have the fundamentals thing. They've got the pitch. I think they even have now.
I'm not going to take my daughter to that neighborhood, Joe.
I think they. Yeah. Okay, you can do that too.
That's a joke,
you
man.
Can do that too.
Come on, kid.
It's a good neighborhood. It's not nothing wrong with the neighborhood at all.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No,
unless you're Bill Simonson.
That's right, Bill Simonson, the huge ass whooping.
You know, whoever those cats from Bridgeport were, I would give them $10 a week.
I have
for that.
You hear that? That's a can of Miller Lite. I would give them many of them.
Well, I'll need some beer.
Correct. Yes. Bill Simonson is a douche. That's a whole. We could do a whole show on that asshole.
We could.
A huge show, probably. Yeah, see what I did there? Because he.
I saw that.
Yeah.
But we digress.
I do. So now we're going to segue away from baseball. Into a new segment for the podcast, which Jason and I have talked about. It's called Our Favorite Internet Things. So like YouTube or Netflix or anything else that we may, a podcast perhaps, that we may enjoy, that we want to enlighten you to. Because we know how much you love this podcast, but it's only an hour, right?
Right. An hour once a week.
That's an hour-ish once a week. There are many, many hours in the day to... take in consumption of things on the internet. So, you know, we had the top 10 albums the episode before this. So we want to give you some of our tips, some of our favorites on the internet. Jason's going to start us off. We got you.
All right. I'm a big podcast guy, which is one of the reasons I wanted to do this in the first place.
Yes.
I love true crime podcasts. There are several of them out there. One that I've just stumbled across recently is... a few years old, and it's 2015 is when it started, and it's called Detective. And basically what it is an actual retired detective talking about, you know, crimes that he worked on. So, I mean, not only is it authentic and, you know, by the person that's doing it, if Joe and I have talked about anything on this podcast, it's how much we love things being real.
Yes.
Or genuine.
Agreed.
And this cat, Detective Kenda, that does the first season is amazing.
So no, that's true. I have a question.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Are these cases that he personally worked on?
Yes.
These are not cases from around the country that he knows, I would have done this, they did this right, did this wrong. It was simply cases that he worked on. And gave his first person.
That's an outstanding question. Yes, absolutely. Okay. These are first person accounts.
Okay.
And of course, he said the first question that he always gets are what are the worst crimes that you deal with? And he said, well, anybody that's murdered. And the worst of those are kids.
Yeah.
And
understand
this guy. I mean, he sounds like John Goodman. He's completely like straightforward and. You know, as serious as the day is long, and hearing this guy's like voice crack and while he's reliving a story is just the most real thing that I've heard on a podcast in a long time.
Yep.
So that's my recommendation. It's Detective. It started in 2015.
Okay.
I would suggest you subscribe to it.
Right. And I have one more question.
About it.
Do we know where he worked, or are these just, he doesn't want to reveal what town he worked in?
That's correct.
Okay. So he doesn't want to go that deep into it, but
right.
He'll talk about any case you want, but he's not going to tell you where
right. It's and these are like kind of quick hits too. I mean, like one's 20 minutes, one's 12 minutes.
Okay.
And they ask him, you know, like your first case, what happened?
Yeah.
And he, you know, the first time he saw a dead body, he wanted to go outside and throw up.
Sure.
And the way the guy talks about breaking balls, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, guys that have been on the job for 10 years and here's a rookie and they bring him in. They don't like warn him or anything.
No.
The way the smell's going to be.
Right.
And he's just like, oh yeah. Right. He makes it from that. He makes it from a beat cop all the way up to, you know, heading this unit,
mm-hmm.
which it's really interesting.
Sure.
So
mine, I've said this before on this podcast that I am a wrestling nerd. And to again, I will answer everybody's question out loud. Yes, I know it's scripted. Yes, I know they don't really hurt each other. Well, they kind of do it sometimes, but not intentionally, right? The punches are pulled. The kicks are pulled. I understand it, okay?
You know what? That might have been an issue
10 years ago. Now, I would say
20 years ago before reality TV.
Correct.
Reality TV is scripted. And the internet. All the same.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Right. Do you actually go to a movie and think that there's 88 bullets in that gun that the guy just keeps firing
No. But I guess what I'm saying is the Big Brother show.
Yeah.
You know, so and so's getting voted off. Oh, yeah. I'm going to the confession booth. Oh, right. You don't think a producer is in somebody's ear going, go in there and tell her to go to hell.
Tell everybody to screw up. yes, but I will say this. I appreciate the art of it.
Right?
I'll give you an example. This has nothing to do with the podcast we're talking about.
It's theater. I mean, this is what Shakespeare was. It's
physical theater.
Yes.
And some call it rope.
I just said wrestling and Shakespeare together.
Some call it rope opera, which is not all that far off. I'm going to give you an example of a guy. There's a wrestler named Edge. Wrestled in WWE for...
Christian and Edge. Correct. Look at me knowing stuff.
Their podcast is really good, but that's not the podcast I'm talking about. Edge, at this point, everybody keeps asking him, hey, you're going to wrestle again? Hey, because all these old-timers come back and wrestle, right?
Right.
Edge flat out says, I have spinal stenosis.
Oof.
I will never wrestle again.
Mm.
Now, do you think he got spinal stenosis from walking around?
What about from doing steroids?
Maybe doing steroids, maybe whatever. Do you think he got it from that? Or did he do it from years and years and years and years of taking bumps?
Probably that.
On his back.
Probably that.
And diving off ladders and all the other shit that he used to do.
That was crazy. Those cats flew.
You can sit there and call it fake.
No.
To an extent, I will give you it's scripted.
Yes.
And yes, they pull their punches and yes, they pull their kicks.
Right.
Kicks. But the spots they do, the bumps they do, they're very real. And that mat, everybody, it's a trampoline mat.
Nope.
Clearly they're not getting hurt.
Nope.
It is a quarter, it's a half inch of plywood, a half inch of padding, and a canvas on steel beams.
Sure.
Not even wood. In the old days, back in the old days, it was wood. They use wood for the beams that run, the joists that run across the ring to stabilize. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, yes, they had a spring in the middle of it. Now it is all steel. There's no spring. These guys are taking bumps on that.
That's like AstroTurf the current turf.
It gives a little, yes, I will give you that, but not enough to where these guys aren't getting hurt.
Right.
So there's a podcast. There's a guy out there named Bruce Pritchard who wrote, he was on Vince McMahon's creative team throughout the entire Attitude
Era. I'm sorry, it's outstanding.
He worked for Vince McMahon.
Right.
Like
no, the creative team. I just...
In a room like we sit here,
yeah,
like we're sitting in now, he would sit across from Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon would say, "This, right." And Bruce would go, "No, what about this?" And Vince would go, "Go fuck yourself."
What if Triple H punched her in the face?
Right.
That's my daughter, motherfucker.
Right. Yes. Exactly. and Bruce Pritchard, about a year and a half ago, roughly 2 years ago ish, started a podcast with a guy who's actually a friend of Ric Flair's.
Yeah.
He's a mortgage guy, believe it or not. But he was good at he was good at hosting podcasts, right?
Oh yeah.
And they started a podcast together called Something to Wrestle With. because that's a term that when Bruce Pritchard first broke into the business, the promoter he worked for would occasionally put in notes in the program. And it would say Something to Wrestle With from the desk of Paul Bosch. And they created this podcast called Something to Wrestle With. And what they do is, for the most part, is they take an event, let's say a historic pay-per-view, good or bad. Like, for example, a couple months ago, they did one on WrestleMania 13, which is one of my favorite WrestleManias that happened in Chicago. It's, if you're a wrestling fan, it's the Bret Hart-Steve Austin match, where Steve Austin was in the sharpshooter, bleeding from the head, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they go into detail... Not only for that pay-per-view, but the events leading up to that pay-per-view. What was happening behind the scenes? Was this guy being a dick? Was this guy wanting to do business or not wanting to do business? Shit like that. And trying to explain what happened at this big event leading up to this big event. Like, for example, and this is common knowledge among most wrestling nerds. The blood that Steve Austin got, Vince told them not to do it. They had a strict no blood policy because they have sponsors. They were on cable TV. They have sponsors. They don't want it. They didn't want it anymore. And back in the 80s and 70s, that's what
it's all was.
Red equals green.
Sure.
Like if you bled, you got paid more money. Literally, right. If you cut yourself.
How much scar tissue on your forehead
right.
can you handle?
Right. And you look like, you know, Dusty Rhodes, or you look like Abdullah the Butcher or whatever. Google those images.
Bruno.
That's what I'm talking about. And
that's Bruno Sammartino to you.
And they literally, and this is Steve Austin was in the company for a year, roughly, right? And he was saddled when he first came with this shit gimmick. Gimmick being the character you play on the show, to give a definition of gimmick. Shit gimmick. He didn't like it. And he said, hey, you know, him and his wife were sitting watching TV, and there was a documentary about this guy. He was a Stone Cold killer. They call him Stone Cold. And he's like, well, what if I do that? What if I call myself Stone Cold? I'll wear black tights. I'll wear black boots. I'll just be this asshole villain, right? And it worked. Worked great.
Yeah. I mean,
his personality.
Talking about taking somebody from a heel to a face.
Yeah. That match. But that match was the match. Like, that was the match that took Bret Hart going into that match was a face. Steve Austin was a heel. That one match took them both and flipped the script. Made Stone Cold the face and made Bret Hart the heel. And it's that kind of detailed stuff they talk to in the podcast about how, you know, did Vince think this? Did Vince think that? Did this wrestler, was he amicable to the situation? Was he pissed about it? Did he not want to do it? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And most of their podcasts are a couple hours long. It's the opposite of Detective. Detective was like 20 minutes long, 50. No.
Yeah.
I think the shortest one I've ever heard is 2 hours and 15 minutes. Matter of fact, they did a 5-hour take on The Undertaker.
Wow.
5 hours.
Now, my take on The Undertaker, up until, what was it, 2 WrestleManias ago?
He
won every match up until...
He did. Brock Lesnar beat him.
Yeah.
Streak broken. It was 3 years ago at the last WrestleMania.
That's what I meant. Thank you.
Yeah. WrestleMania 30. Was that 4 years ago? No, 3 years ago.
That bummed me out, man. I mean, that was a streak that...
And nobody knew about it. Nobody knew. Nobody knew other than Brock. Obviously, the two guys in the ring. The referee knew, obviously. But they didn't want Lincoln out.
Right.
And that's another thing, too, about wrestling.
Yeah.
Is that there's an old adage, telegram, telephone, tele-wrestler. As soon as you tell one of them, then they're going to tell somebody. Sure. And it's going to leak out that, hey, this happened. This is what's going on. And the only reason I also bring this podcast up is that WrestleMania is coming up 4 days from today as we tape this.
Right.
It's on Sunday. I can't wait for it.
Except for the title match.
Yeah. Yeah. It was announced today that Brock Lesnar is going back to UFC, which
means
guaranteed, almost guaranteed, he's losing at WrestleMania. Right?
Yeah.
Sucks. I hate that. Because this happened a couple of WrestleManias ago, the one in San Francisco or at Niners Stadium, whatever one that was. Like, there was all this talk he's going to go back to UFC and he ended up losing the belt. I mean, he won the match, but then he. They have the Money in the Bank gimmick.
Of course. Oh, sure.
That Seth Rollins cashed in and won.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my podcast. I recommend it highly, but give yourself some time to listen to it. It's not a short podcast.
Everything really wrapped up nicely.
It did. All wrapped up in a nice little bow. Well, thank you guys for listening to episode 10 of It's That Podcast. I am your host, Joe Lindholm, along with my co-host, Jason Shirley.
Rate, review, and subscribe, please.
Shit. I forgot the most important part of this podcast, and we're almost done with it. We're on Apple. We're on Apple Podcasts, kids. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on the Google Play Store, Spotify soon. For some reason, I'm still in limbo on Spotify, so I got to investigate and figure out why. Right now, our website is itsthatpodcast.podbean.com. I got to work on that, too, getting that squared away, getting our regular URL back. But for now, it's that podcast.podbean.com. And please go to Apple Podcasts. Give us a good rating. You know, the more people that rate us well is the higher up we'll get, and we'll get some more listeners. So we're all down for that.
Because I always felt that if we weren't on Apple, we kind of weren't real. And yeah. Now I feel now that
it's legit.
Might be a little real. Legit.
And all that is thanks to Podbean, quite frankly.
Yeah.
We switched sites, and their usability and their user interface is much cleaner and much more simpler to use.
Than
Squarespace. Squarespace.
Oh, yeah. They're always trying to screw you.
Squarespace is all right. It's good if you're doing a blog. It's right. Not good if you're doing a podcast.
Or a website. Yeah, sure.
It might
be. Okay.
But anyway. So we want to thank you guys for listening to It's That Podcast, episode 10. Like I said, Apple Podcast. We're on Google Play. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/itsthatpod. Give us a like. Tune us in. Give us a like. Let us know you like what we're doing. Give us suggestions on what we need to do better. You can send us emails. I am joe@itsthatpodcast.com. Jason is jason@itsthatpodcast.com. Give us a holler, and thank you for listening to It's That Podcast.